नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
हरे कृष्ण। आई विल रीड फ्रॉम द श्रीमद् भागवतम सेवेंथ कैंटो चैप्टर 9। दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड एज द प्रहलाद पैसिफाइज द लॉर्ड विद प्रेयर्स। टेक्स्ट नंबर 39। नैतन्मनस्तव कतास विकुंठनाथ संप्रियते दुरित दुष्टम साधु तीव्रम कामातुरम हर्ष शोक भयैषनार्तम तस्मिन् कतम तव गतिम तिमृषामि दीनः। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। My dear Lord of the Vaikuntha planets, where there is no anxiety, my mind is extremely sinful and lusty, being sometimes so-called happy and sometimes so-called distress. My mind is full of lamentation and fear, and it always seeks more and more money. Thus it has become most polluted and is never satisfied in topics concerning you. I am therefore most fallen and poor. In such a status of life, how shall I be able to discuss your activities? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Here Prahlad Maharaj represents himself as a common man, although he actually has nothing to do with this material world. Prahlad is always situated in the Vaikuntha planets of the spiritual world. But on behalf of the fallen souls, he asks how, when his mind is always disturbed by material things, he can discuss the transcendental position of the Lord. The mind becomes sinful because we are always engaged in sinful activities. Anything not connected with Krishna consciousness should be understood to be sinful. Indeed, Krishna demands in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja, aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishami masucha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. As soon as one surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, Krishna immediately relieves one of the reactions of sinful activities. Therefore, one who is not surrendered to the lotus feet of the Lord should be understood to be sinful, foolish, degraded among men, and bereft of all real knowledge because of his atheistic propensities. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Namam duskritino mudaha prapadyante naradamaha maya paharta jnanad asurim bhavam ashrita. Therefore, especially in this age of Kali, the mind must be cleansed. And this is possible only by the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Chetodarpana Marjanam. In this age, the process of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the only method by which it to cleanse the sinful mind. When the mind is completely cleansed of all sinful reactions, one can then understand his duty in the human form of life. The Krishna consciousness movement is meant to educate sinful men so that they may become pious simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Harer naam, harer naam, harer naamaiva kevalam, kalau nasteva, nasteva, nasteva gatiranyata. To cleanse the heart so that one may become sober and wise in this age of Kali. There is no value to any method other than the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Prahlad Maharaj has confirmed this process in previous verse. Tvadvirya gayana mahamrita magna chittaha. Prahlad further confirms that if one's mind is always absorbed in the thought of Krishna, that very qualification will purify one and keep one purified always. To understand the Lord and His activities, one must free his mind from all contamination of the material world. And this one can achieve by simply chanting the Lord's holy name. Thus, one becomes free from all material bondage.
Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Hare Krishna. So, Prahlad Maharaj is discussing the character of the mind. And basically, as Radha Gopinath Prabhu mentioned, we were traveling. And the observation about the civilization based upon spiritual culture and the civilization based upon material culture is that create heaven on the material platform. That is the materialistic civilization. And the spiritual civilization, which is based upon the culture of Krishna consciousness, is to create Vrindavan in the mind. When we create heaven from the material point of view, from an external point of view, we forget to recognize we are also culturing the culture of creating hell within our mind. Therefore, the whole process of devotional service or the whole process of Krishna consciousness is the process of curing from inside. It is explained that unless one has the inner substance, he becomes the slave of his surrounding. We are provoked or we are agitated even when there is small provocation. Therefore, sometimes people ask this question, what is the actual benefit of practicing Krishna consciousness in my day-to-day life? Okay, I chant Hare Krishna and associate with devotees, but how does it help me in my day-to-day life? But here the solution given, that unless our mind is made into Vrindavan, then even with all of our possessions, all of our material acquisition simply creates further and further entanglement. Like we met one devotee doctor, he did his post-graduation in emergency medicine. Indian devotee only. And he practiced in the hospital, working in the department of emergency medicine for 4 to 5 years. And he explained that it was so difficult to work there because of the people coming inside those emergency department. And most of the cases which he would experience or encounter was dealt with conflicts. Because of the conflict in the mind, the relatives or the friends would shoot their own members, family members. It became too difficult for him to handle. And then he also explained, he has few patients who are lawyers in profession. And he was explaining because, you know, lawyers in America, we don't say everybody, but to large extent, he was explaining because their whole target is to create division. If there is a problem with another party, then we will help you to further the problems, to complicate it, to make it more conflict, to create bigger division. You come to us, we'll help you. And because they're always targeting their clients, that rather than compromising, rather than creating harmony, that why not create more and more conflict? They're always figuring out like this. And he was explaining because of this principle, he said these lawyers don't sleep in the night. Huge castles, big bungalows, many cars, unlimited clients coming to them, all facilities on the mundane platform to enjoy the senses, but the basic sense gratification in the form of sleep, they cannot. And in Bombay, people have become expert. Just extend your hand to the train and go down, sleep for 2 hours. Therefore, he was mentioning that they come to me regularly asking for sleeping pills. Therefore, Krishna consciousness is also most practical. At the same time, it is sublime. Not only talks about the life after death, which is eternal life, but while living in this world, it also talks about how to experience that pleasure and happiness within by understanding the principle of Krishna consciousness. And applying the principle of Krishna consciousness, then the mind which is creating hell, in the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Narad Muni explains, what is this mind? Mind is nothing but godown of desires. When the senses interact with the sense object, they create, it's a dynamic creation of desires. It's a 24-hour shift. The mind is working 24 hours. Because the senses are interacting with the sense objects, constantly we are creating desires. Why? Because there is no inner substance. I want this, I want that. And Narad Muni explains to King Prachini Bharishad, because the mind is the storehouse of desires and the senses are interacting with the sense objects, unlimited desires are created. And because unlimited desires are created, and if you don't fulfill your desires in this body, then the storehouse, the mind says, okay, accept another body. Just imagine the precarious condition of this material body, that this human form of life is so rarely achieved. We are using this human form of life for what? To create more bodies which has no facilities to practice Krishna consciousness. Absolutely no facilities to practice Krishna consciousness. And therefore, Prabhupada gave the example. He said, all the arrangement in this world simply to enhance and further interaction with the matter is nothing but building a beautiful house. In the Western world, most of the residents are built with wood. Very few concrete buildings. Of course, in the downtown, you'll find big, big concrete buildings. But mostly these houses are made of wood. And Prabhupada explains, you endeavor very hard, a lifetime endeavor to build a beautiful house. And before even Graha Pravesh takes place, you set fire to your own house. What do you call such a person? You worked very hard, you built a beautiful house, and before inviting your relatives and friends, you take a matchstick, take kerosene, and pour kerosene on your house and burn, set it to fire. Prabhupada says such person should be called as a fool, stupid. He said, that's what we are doing with our material body. We are decorating this body, making such an endeavor to protect this body, make it most powerful. It's a house. Of course, we don't burn it. We burn it with our actions and reactions. But somebody else burns our body when they take us to the cremation ground. All endeavor, all aggrandizement, for what? Simply to burn this material body. So therefore, the difference between Krishna consciousness culture and the materialistic culture is that the materialistic culture has acquired great amount of expertise in harmonizing the matter. They can take water, fire, air, ether, and space and manipulate to great extent and control over it. We can't say at complete extent, but to large extent, the materialistic people have acquired this expertise in manipulating the matter and creating great harmony. But unfortunately, mind is also the matter, but a different kind of matter. But they are not able to control it. There is great tragedy because they are not able to control the mind. All the gadgets, all those instruments which man has created he is furthering the complexities of the mind. Just like Prabhupada explains, Hiranyakashipu, just imagine, he was such a scientist. He could change the seasons. Those who are pious, they will go to hell. And those who are impious, they will go to heaven. When the mango season was there, or when there is a mango season, only for a few months, he could create mangoes throughout the year. He could change the season. He had complete control over the environment. He could, simply by raising his eyebrows, he was controlling all the demigods. Vayu, make the temperature right. His remote control was his eyebrows. And what does the materialistic civilization teach us? Become small Hiranyakashipus. Try to control your surrounding by possessing all the mechanical instruments. But then we see that there is a conflict. People can't stand, people can't have relationship with others. Son or daughter cannot stand their parents. The parents cannot stand their children. The wife cannot stand her husband. Husband cannot stand his wife. In this way, so-called union ultimately leads to great frustration. Why? Because the mind is not controlled. Therefore, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing in front of the Ratha cart, he makes this point. He is inviting, because he is in the mood of Srimati Radharani and is dancing in front of the Ratha cart of Lord Jagannath, and is inviting Lord Krishna. He said, you come and stay within my mind. Why my mind? Mahaprabhu explains, for most people, their mind and heart are one and the same. Senses interact with the sense object. We store desires, the contamination within the mind, and the heart also becomes contaminated. Therefore, mind and the heart are one and the same for most of the people. But Lord Chaitanya said, my dear Krishna, please come to my mind, because Moraman Vrindavan, my mind is non-different from Vrindavan. And because my mind is non-different from Vrindavan, please place your two lotus feet in Vrindavan. And Srila Prabhupada explains, he says, if your mind is Vrindavan, then what do you have in Vrindavan? Krishna is there. Gopas are there, gopis are there, Nanda Maharaj is there, Yashoda is there, the whole inhabitants of Vrindavan is there in your mind. So therefore, when we create this culture of Krishna consciousness, practice Krishna consciousness culture, not only after quitting our body, like somebody asked this question to Srila Prabhupada. He said, Swamiji, you are endeavoring to practice God consciousness, trying to advance yourself, and you are staying away from all the object of the senses, reducing sense gratification. What if after all this endeavor, when you go up there and you see no Krishna? Krishna is not there. So he said, what a waste. All useless efforts. Sometimes those who are practicing, this nasty thought pops in. What if there is no spiritual world? There is no Krishna. I started practicing four regulative principles. No enjoyment here and no enjoyment there. Why not enjoy something which is substantial? When Prabhupada said, it makes sense. Let us take your example. Agreed upon that Krishna does not exist. But still we had better life than you. We enjoyed Krishna consciousness. We took nice prasad. We heard philosophy. Just like who in the world, early morning 4:30, starts dancing? No materialistic person will ever do that. He can't even open his eyes. It's so difficult for them to open their eyelids, because they have stoned their senses. They can't rise. They need to take this, adding some dirt in the milk, making it more and more tamogun, and then they rise, increasing their tamogun.
So, but the devotees get up early morning, come to the temple, chant Hare Krishna, dance in the kirtan, take nice prasad, hot chapatis every day. So Prabhupada said, even if you say Krishna does not exist, still we had wonderful life. But my dear friend, what if Krishna exists? And we know Krishna does exist. Then what about you? What will happen to you? Therefore, Krishna consciousness is not only sublime from the point of future perspective, but it is also most practical to live a sinful life, to become sinful. Therefore, matter, the culture or the characteristic of matter is to make you desensitized, to make you dull, to make you materialistic. And therefore, when we interact with other people, we don't care for emotions. One devotee told me, he said, we were taught from our childhood, he said, words don't matter. He said, you learn to insult people and get insulted by others. It doesn't matter. As long as it doesn't hurt you physically, words doesn't matter. No, words do matter. They make a lot of difference. Gaurang Prabhu was giving one example in regards to Dhruva Maharaj. Who was Dhruva Maharaj? He had unlimited resources to enjoy sense gratification. He was the great grandson of Lord Brahma. Who can have more resources than Lord Brahma and his great grandson Dhruva Maharaj? All the facilities were there. And he was a Kshatriya. Kshatriyas can stand. No, the Kshatriyas can stand all kinds of weapons on their body. They like to be killed by weapons. They don't mind blood. In fact, by seeing blood, they become ecstatic. That is Kshatriyas. But this Dhruva Maharaj was told by his stepmother one statement. What was it? You are not entitled to sit on your father's lap. He said the whole kingdom, all the resources of the kingdom could not satisfy him. He was willing to go to the forest where there is nothing except forest animals. Why? Because there was no satisfaction in the heart. He was lacking Krishna consciousness. So therefore, it is explained that when we practice devotional life, we create Vrindavan out of our mind. We develop the inner substance. And once the inner substance is developed, then the surrounding, whether it is conflicting from a superficial point of view, or very, you know, difficult one, because the inner substance is there, we can see harmony. We can see that there is a plan of Krishna in creating that conflict. Therefore, Krishna consciousness means that seeing from Krishna's point of view, not from our point of view. When we see from our point of view, and every living entity wants to see from his point of view, therefore, naturally, there will be conflict. When Lord Brahma, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we see, he tried to play around with the Yogeshwar, Lord Krishna. He wanted to test Krishna. Who is this coward boy? And he kidnapped all the coward boys, the calves, and he was hiding them and trying to test the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Bhagavatam explains that Brahmaji was like a, what do you call this, fire insect, firefly. And Lord Krishna is like sun. How can this firefly play around with sun? And it became too difficult for Lord Brahma to handle. And Lord Krishna, by his mystic power, he created unlimited Krishnas, unlimited coward boys, and eventually created unlimited Narayans. And after that, Lord Brahmaji sees something very phenomenal, very significant. Before seeing Govardhan Hills, before seeing Jamuna, what did he see? He saw the character of Vrindavan. Unless we experience the characteristic of Vrindavan, seeing Govardhan, seeing Jamuna, seeing Krishna Balaram temple, without seeing that phenomena, as Narottam Das Thakur explains, even in Vrindavan you'll find conflict. if you don't understand the character of Vrindavan. And what is the character of Vrindavan? Which Lord Krishna gave that gift to Lord Brahma to see. And Brahma just saw that all the wild animals of the forest, naturally they are inimical towards each other. Naturally they are inimical. You can't see deer walking around with tiger. Not possible. You don't see snakes, you know, flying with peacocks. But here in Vrindavan, what did Lord Brahma see? That all these wild animals were living in harmony. So that is Vrindavan. That is Vrindavan, because he could see the plan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, one who experiences this phenomena by practicing Krishna consciousness, and it is not something, utopian idea, it's a sublime reality. One can actually experience Krishna consciousness. And once the Vrindavan is created in the mind, and the surrounding doesn't matter, one can handle that situation and experience, even in the greatest of the conflict, the principle of devotional service. I would conclude by telling a true story. Just recently, before we went to West, one of our friend, you know, he came to me and he said that one of his college mates, family friend's son was suffering from cancer, blood cancer. And this boy came from very, very rich, aristocratic, pure family. The parents trained him proper culture. Even while living in America, he was studying in Stanford University, one of the best universities. And even in that university, he topped his exams. But one fine day, he received this news that you're diagnosed with blood cancer. Young, 19, 20 years old boy. So naturally, if something happens like that to us, while practicing some kind of superficial religion, what will you do? You'll analyze your life. I did not do any sinful activities, and still God has done this to me. You become agnostic. But some other this boy, and fortunately came in touch with these devotees. And our Rahul Shetty, you know, he was saying, don't tell my name. But his friend, his schoolmate, his college mate, this girl, she sent him Bhagavad Gita. In fact, first she sent him to hear the lectures, which is broadcasted from our website. But he could not focus. He said, give me something substantial to read. So she sent him Bhagavad Gita to read. And she called him and said, how did you like the Bhagavad Gita? It blew off her mind. He read the whole Bhagavad Gita within 3 days. And he said, give me something more. So she sent him chanting mala, kanti mala. And this boy started chanting Hare Krishna. 1 round, 2 rounds, 3 rounds. And he went up to 16 rounds. No association of devotees. Never met anybody. Read the Bhagavad Gita. Simply was hearing from his friend. And started chanting 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And he didn't know anything about Krishna. Panchatattva was there on his ceiling. He became attracted to the Panchatattva deities. Lord Narsingdev was there. Radha Krishna was there. He was chanting. And just few days before, when he passed away from this world, it was very powerful experience that the father of this boy called his girl. He told that now is any time he's going to pass from this world. And you keep on chanting for him. And once the phone disconnects from our side, you should know that he's left his body. And this girl kept on chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And the phone got disconnected. And she didn't know what was happening. How was he remembering Krishna at the time of death? And suddenly phone rang. When he was already engaged with some girl who was he was supposed to marry her. And she called this girl saying that just before quitting his body, he waved his hand to his father and said, father, bye-bye. And again he started looking at Panchatattva deities. Wide open eyes. And while hearing the holy name being chanted from India to America, he left his body. And how long did he practice Krishna consciousness? But he could harmonize. He did not complain. And he wrote few points. I'll just read. This Mataji made the report and she explains that these are something that he once mentioned to me. After reading the Gita, I am kind of convinced of what they have to say. I can't believe what my parents are missing out on. Now I know how you must be feeling not being able to share the experience with your parents. I feel bad for them. And then this boy wrote a mail to Rahul. And Rahul received this mail. It was so arranged that he would only receive the mail after this boy departs from this world. And I'll read the mail. Shaurya, his name was Shaurya Mehta. Shaurya's mail to Rahul after his departure. I'm sure you're surprised at my mail. You're going to receive it after I depart. Hey, I'm Shaurya Mehta. I'm Rashi's brother, as she calls it. That's, you know, Rahul's college mate. In the last 1 year, I've heard so much about you from Rashi. I never wanted people to know much about me. I don't know if she told many, but I was sure you knew very well. I must say, I know you very well. Firstly, I cannot stop thanking you for bringing Rashi into ISKCON. With complete confidence, I can say that the girl has changed so much, and thanks to her. My life has changed so much because she introduced me to ISKCON. Thank you. Keep her grounded in ISKCON. Make her a tough girl. Make her a nice person. Thank you for all that you have been doing for me through Rashi. You are very special. May God bless you always. For the first and the last time, Shaurya Mehta, Hare Krishna. And then based upon this, this Mataji wrote a poem. Just see how Krishna is inspiring. When young people meet in this world, what do you experience? Young people with young senses, there is simply the principle of sense gratification. But because when they saw that their friend is suffering because of this cancer and they are willing to offer Krishna consciousness to them, and Krishna is inspiring so wonderfully. She writes the poem, early last November, it was your life was but a quiet full of flaws. You happened to ask me about ISKCON, which followed to be life's greatest cause. Then came December when the Gita was read. You so liked what Krishna said. It took you by your heart. It took you by your head. It took you far from all that you used to dread. Jan came, and so did the chanting of the Harinam. Purified your heart, made you calm. Your chanting rang beautifully like an alarm. All just by the mercy of Radhe Shyam. Feb brought lectures and things got intense. Krishna's love was attacking you through each of your sense. Things got hard, but you held your defense. It marked the arrival of the end of the material pretense. And then just as death rang its bell, Krishna put you under his spell. He took far away from this hell, now in Golok you dwell. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Therefore, we have the choice. It is explained the greatest gift what Lord offers us in this world is not the gift of the material resources, the gift of free choice. And if we use that free choice in a proper way, then we have the facility, just like this boy, just within 2 months or 3 months, he could make hell out of hell, the body which was like a hell, he was not affected by that. He made Vrindavan. He made his mind into Vrindavan. And there was complete confidence. He was fearing about his family members. They are not getting this one. Or else we have the choice. All our surrounding is heaven, but our mind is hell. And that is what Krishna consciousness is willing to offer, that choice. Which choice we want to make? Hare Krishna. So I request His Grace Gaurang Prabhu to speak.
Hare Krishna. So very powerful story, and he never told this in all our 2 months travel. So I'm kind of shaken by his experience.
Even I was told this.
Okay. So I have something prepared here, but my mind just got totally churned up by hearing this pastime, which shows how real Krishna consciousness is and practical it is when it matters. And at such moments, only Krishna consciousness matters. So today, I would like to speak on what is misfortune, fortune, and again misfortune. And I'll explain what this means. Srila Prabhupada was in 22nd Avenue and he was giving a class. And one hippie was sitting right in front of him with back erect, staring at him. And when Prabhupada finished his class, he asked for questions, and this man looked sternly into Prabhupada's eyes, aggressively, and said, "Can you see God?" And Prabhupada said, "No, you are coming in my way." And Krishna explains in Gita, "Agyascha asraddhanascha sanshayatma vinashyati." If one approaches spiritual life with aggressiveness, lack of humility, skepticism, then it is practically impossible to appreciate the presence of God, even if God personally descends. And I'm just thinking how fortunate this boy is, that at such a young age, in such a short period of time, he could progress and transcend millions and millions of lives of misery in one instant. So the greatest misfortune is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and that is, we are all imprisoned within this material world, which is a place of misery. And while in my travels, I thought of an example. Govind Prabhu also liked that example, and I'll share with you this example about material world being a place of misery. I was talking to some of the IIT boys who were connected with me when I was preaching in IIT, but then somehow they are not practicing Krishna consciousness anymore. So when I met them, I just thought I should communicate to them how this is a place of misery. So that inspired me. And I was giving this example that if you go to any store, if you go to a mall or a store to buy juices or any item, then on the can you have a label. If I want apple juice, then I don't go on opening tins to search out where is apple juice. No proprietor will allow that. You can't go and start opening. "Oh, it is apple juice? Let me check. Send it to the lab for testing and then I will take it." No. As soon as you go, there is a label which says apple. It says orange. It says what is the contents. And we have to believe that. So manufacturer knows what is the content. So you go and according to what you need, you see the label and purchase whatever juice you want. So suppose in one of the bottles there is Karela juice and the label is on the other side. And from this side you think it is grape juice. And you take it up, open it and drink it. And the natural experience is it is horrible. It is bitter. And then you go and shout to the person that what is this? Why is this juice so bitter? He says, just check out the label on the other side. And that says Karela juice. So it is very clear that the contents is something which is described in the label. So therefore, I was giving this example that the material world is like a can. And the manufacturer knows the contents. Who is the manufacturer? Krishna. And therefore, Bhagavad Gita is the label for the can. And therefore, on this can, the label is very clearly mentioned. What is the juice you will experience if you open this can and try to experience and enjoy? Pure, unalloyed misery. That is the juice which is available. Dukkhalayam ashashvatam. Bitter. So many people are saying, okay, I want to stay in India and go through this experience. Someone says, I want to go to the West. So which one you would prefer? Hot Karela juice or cold Karela juice? Which is better? Ice cold chilled or something hot and boiling? Right? That is the only difference. Otherwise, the experience anywhere within the 14 planetary systems is bitter. And therefore, we expect happiness without checking the label on the can. So you can't sue the manufacturer because manufacturer has done his job. He has given the label and contents also he has mentioned because in bottle you will see contents also, right? So many grams this, so many grams, so many ml this. Contents also he has given. Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadhi. Contents have been given very clearly. The experience which you are going to see, is everything is mentioned. The only time when you cannot refer to the contents or the label is, maybe number one, you are going in a country where you don't know the language. If I'm shopping in China and I'm looking for some juice, but everything is in Chinese, so I can't read the label. Or maybe the store doesn't have light and I'm just searching in the dark and therefore I'm trying out which is which juice by trial and error. Or third is the label is there, the light is there, I know the language also, but I'm too intoxicated to read. Because everything is moving. So therefore the label is there, all the details are there, but sometimes we are so much intoxicated by pride of all of our material opulences that it becomes difficult to focus very clearly what exactly this label is saying. Therefore, the most prudent and logical thing to do before anyone buys a product or tries an experience is to check out what the manufacturer says about what the experience is going to be. And that is very clear. And all of us expect happiness through sense gratification. Therefore, Krishna has already given the warning, it is simply going to be a miserable experience. You may get attracted to sense objects. And when you get attracted and within the mind you feel excited, you should know that is the peak level happiness. And as soon as you possess the object and start the experience of interacting, the happiness will gradually convert to misery. I was giving this example yesterday also. That Deenbandhu Prabhu was saying this story. In a Narsingh Chaturdashi festival, they had made one carob cake. And it looked so attractive. And everyone was eager to have it. They did a quick kirtan, quick aarti. And everyone was eager to start. And they started eating. The first person who ate one piece found that there was one problem. Instead of sugar, they had put salt. So as soon as he touched that cake, the experience was so miserable, he looked at it again. Because he couldn't believe that something which looks so attractive can give such a miserable experience. So he thought maybe he has bitten it on the wrong side. So he changed the side and tried again. What do you expect? Same misery. Still didn't give up. He thought maybe this is not the right time. Kept it on the plate. Kept eating other items, kept looking at it. Because something which has been attractive so much has enchanted my heart, and I thought I have found it. God has made this for me only. We are made for each other. So he felt, how can the experience be so miserable? He was just not getting convinced. After some time of rice dal munching, he took it again. What do you expect? So therefore, material world is misery from the beginning, misery in the middle, and misery in the end. But still, as soon as some sense object comes, we think, cannot be so true. Maybe there is some hope. Therefore, the whole thing has been attractively packaged. But Krishna, from his side, has done the needful. He has put the label and said, it is Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam. Do not try for any experience of bliss here. So therefore, to be born and to be part of this material world is the greatest misfortune. But what is the fortune? The fortune is that although we are in this miserable situation, we have the opportunity to get connected with the Supreme Lord and engage in His loving service even in the midst of this misfortune. And this devotional service and the chance to serve in the association of devotees is the greatest fortune. And just like Govind Prabhu mentioned the example of this boy, by material standards, it was such a big misfortune that someone so young, so bright, with all prospects of material prosperity, just round the corner, is suddenly struck by a deadly disease. But even in the face of this misfortune, he received the greatest fortune of getting connected with devotional service. And he began that devotional service by hearing and chanting. That is how powerful this process is. So when Krishna says devotional service is the highest, so Prabhupada explains, bhakti is like an elevator, like a lift. In a huge 100-story building, we may be stuck up at any floor. Someone is stuck up at second floor, someone is stuck up at fifth floor, someone on the 50th floor. But this lift is carrying everyone up. It doesn't matter who we are or who we were, what qualifications we have, what kind of activities we have performed. If right now the lift is coming and I am standing there, when the door opens, make sure that we jump in. So what is the preacher? Preacher is a lift man. He is just going with the lift, opening the door and inviting. Come on. Come in. But those who are outside are very skeptical. Why is he calling? What is going to happen? Where is he going to take me up? What is he going to do after taking me up? So they may not be so eager. They may tell others, you go in the lift. But the point is, as soon as we come in, we are elevated. And it is very fast. And this is the greatest fortune, that we have a chance to be connected through service. And I was thinking of speaking about the glories of the younger brother of Lord Ram, Lakshman, who is considered to be a personification of service. Yesterday I discussed a little bit about Bharat Maharaj, and I was giving a series of classes on Ramayana at the Bhaktivedanta Manor at London. And our Nityanand Prabhu, who's our local research scholar, and he was giving me some help from Sri Vaishnava Acharya's commentaries. And in the Ramayana, the meaning of the word Lakshman has been described by Valmiki ji. What does Lakshman mean? What is the meaning of Lakshman? And Valmiki ji says, Sarvapriya kara tasya rama api sharirita lakshmano lakshmi sampanna bahir prana ivapara. He says that Lakshman would be constantly engaged in Lord Ram's service. Sarva priya karah tasya, whatever was pleasing to Lord, not that certain things which Lord Ram felt pleasing, which also matched Lakshman's conceptions. Many times our service is conditional like that. Oh, my master is mercifully asking me to do those things which I also like. So that is great. Thank God. But as soon as we are asked to do something which do not match our expectations, there is difficulty. Sarva priya karatasya Rama api sharirata. He had given up all other independent desires and using body, mind and words completely in serving Lord Ram. So the verse says, Lakshmano Lakshmi Sampanna Bahi Prana Ivapara. So Lakshman was just like considering Bahir Prana. Bahi Prana means for him Lord Ramachandra was just like life and soul. Prana is something which we hold within. So Lord Ram loved Lakshman so much, so he just considered Lakshman to be his external life force and vice versa. They were so attached to each other. And that is how the soul is related to Krishna in eternal service. The connection is so deep in the original sense that for the soul to survive without the Lord's service is practically impossible. Just like without prana, you cannot survive. It is prana, it is life itself. So therefore we find that Lakshman had been sent to the forest. Lakshman lost all the opulences of the kingdom. Lakshman was told, you have to go. In fact, Ramchandra told him, you do not come, you go back. But Lakshman said, I am coming. And in fact, Dasharatha Maharaj tried to convince Lord Ram not to go to the forest, but Lord Ram was determined. And when Lakshman came to know about this, he was so angry that he actually chastised Dasharatha Maharaj also. And the Ramayana says, Aham tavat maharaje pitrutve no palakshyate bhrata bhartascha bandhuscha pitascha mama raghava. He says, my dear father, he doesn't say father, he says Maharaje. O Dasharatha Maharaj, aham tavat Maharaje pitrutvam nopalakshe. I do not consider you to be my father from this point onwards. Because of the way you have behaved with the Supreme Lord Ram. Bhrata bhartuscha bandhuscha pitascha mama raghava. For me, from this point onwards, Lord Ram is my brother, he is my master, he is my relative, and he is my father. He is all in all for me. And therefore, this pastime depicts that how through Ramayana, Lord Ram is trying to convince us that all relationships in this material world cannot help us in the ultimate sense. Every relationship will let us down. The only relationship the soul should be aspiring is the relationship with the Supreme Lord. That of service. If we lose everything else, but the service is there, and we are connected to devotional service, that is the greatest fortune. And therefore, Lakshman, he was demonstrating his commitment to the Lord. The eternal service of the soul to the Supreme Lord, he was a direct representative of that. Even his mother, Sumitra, she understood Lakshman's mood. And she said, as she was consoling Lakshman, trying to calm him down, she said, Ramam Dasharatam Vidhi Vam Vidhi Janakatmajam Ayodhyam Atavim Vidhi Gachatat Yathasukham. As she was sending Lakshman to the forest, these were her parting words. She said, my dear Lakshman, Ramam Dasharatam Vidhi. You are going to the forest, but do not feel lonely. Just consider Lord Ram to be like your father Dasharath. Mam Vidhim Janaka Atmajam. And if you are missing me, I am your mother. But Mam Vidhi Janaka Atmajam. Understand that Sita is your real mother. Ram is your real father. Sita is your real mother. Ayodhyam Atavim Vidhi. And you may be missing Ayodhya. But you should know, because Sita and Ram are in the forest and you have the opportunity to serve the divine couple Janakiji and Lord Ram in the forest, that forest is Ayodhya. Gachatata yatha sukham. Just go to the forest, because that forest is the only place of pleasure. Otherwise, this world is a place of misery. Because Ram is in the forest and Sita Devi is in the forest, but more importantly, Lakshman is connected to them in the mood of service. This service is the greatest opulence. This chance and opportunity to serve Krishna is the greatest opulence. And therefore, Lakshman means Lakshmano Lakshmi Sampanna. One who is endowed with Lakshmi. One who is full of Lakshmi. Lakshmi means what? Fortune. Opulence. One who is all opulent. Who is always opulent. Who is always full of Aishwarya. Lakshmi. Now you may think he is going to the forest. He is living behind all the opulence. He is wearing deer bark. He is just eating simply. He is not even sleeping. What opulence did he have? The opulence of service. Seva, that is the greatest opulence. Lakshmano, Lakshmi Sampanna. Therefore, Lakshman means one who is never bereft of this opulence. One who is a multi-millionaire as far as service is concerned. Who is constantly 24 hours engaged in serving the Lord. Lakshmano Lakshmi Sampanna Bahi Prana Ivapara. Therefore, Lakshman represents this principle of eternal service. And here we have this opportunity in the midst of thousands of devotees. This service is enacted through the medium of devotees. And therefore, Lakshman was in this mood of service. So if you have 5 devotees, then you have chance to serve 5 of them. If you have 2,500 devotees, you have the chance to serve more. Therefore, in that sense, we have such an opulence. Bombay may be a miserable city, but still in the midst of this misfortune, we have this fortune of the chance to serve. Such an opulence. But we have to recognize it. And therefore, during one initiation ceremony, some devotees were discussing after the initiation, I got so-and-so name. You know, someone said I got Krishna Das, someone said I got Paramatma Das. I didn't get a very, you know, direct name. It was a little indirect. And so discussion was going on. Prabhupada heard it. He said, what is this nonsense going on? You have been given names and you are thinking which name is better, which name is not so good. The most important part of your name is the second part, Das. If you remember that, that is sufficient. So therefore, when we are situated in this understanding that the soul is a Das, and he also acts according to that principle, then he experiences this opulence. Otherwise, it is simply misfortune all the way through. Another devotee is, of course, very famous, is Hansadutta Prabhu. His name before he met Srila Prabhupada was Hans Carey. He's from Germany. And this German name was standing out in America, and people would sometimes make fun that, hey, you are German, you are German. So he was waiting for initiation. He was thinking, after initiation, I should really get a good name. I'm fed up of this name. Should get a really fantastic name. And then when he took the beads, Prabhupada said, your name is Hamsaduta. So he said, what? Prabhupada said, just add Duta to your name. His name was Hans. So already name was Hans. Prabhupada said, just add Duta. So it becomes Hansaduta. And then he was a Grihastha. So his previous name was Kari. So Prabhupada said, just add Adhi to the beginning. It becomes Adhi Kari. So he was thinking, my God, I was waiting for this day to get a new name. And even my new name is only suffix and prefix of my previous name. So then he looked for an opportune moment, and he came to Prabhupada and said, can you tell me the meaning of my name? Prabhupada said, I don't know. And he was even more bewildered. He said, can you tell me where I can find it? Prabhupada said, search in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So then that, he was doing it on a regular basis. Whenever he was reading, he was trying to see where is his name. And he couldn't find it. Few months later, there was another temple. Initiation was going on. And after the initiation, everything, devotees were sitting with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was discussing, okay, Brahmanand means this. So and so name means this. So many meanings of name Prabhupada was saying. So he thought, this is a good chance. He came to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, who is Hamsaduta? Prabhupada said, you. So then he understood. The best thing to do is just serve. Das. Therefore, the principle of being das is something not understood in the material world. And people think that is a misfortune. But Lakshman is leaving all opulences, going to the forest, and Valmiki is saying, Lakshmano Lakshmi Sampanna Bahi Prana Ivapara. One who is full of Lakshmi or opulence of the chance to serve. So therefore, this is the greatest fortune. Now the third thing which I wanted to discuss was misfortune again. So first you have fortune, misfortune, then you get a chance to serve, and that is fortune. But then what is misfortune? So in Ramayana, we'll take one small pastime. Lakshman and Ram were meeting Sugriva Hanuman for the first time. And so at that time, Sugriva, he gave an asan to Lord Ramchandra, asked him to sit. And Sugriva also sat beside Lord Ram, put up another asan for himself and sat. But he forgot to offer an asan to Lakshman. Hanumanji saw this. Hanumanji was very alert. Hanumanji took an asan. Asan means he broke off a few branches and prepared, you know, something soft and placed it for Lakshman. Lord Ramchandra noted this. So Sugriva had offered respect to the Lord, but then at that time he had neglected Lakshman, devotee. So now, after the pact was over, you know this pastime that, you know, Sugriva wanted to see Lord Ram's power. So Lord Ram, he shot an arrow and it went through all the 7 sal trees, went up to the highest planetary system, went down to the lowest, came back and entered into Lord Ram's quiver. And Lord Ram said, is that okay? You have faith in me? He said, okay. And then based on that, Sugriva goes ahead and he cries out to Wali, come out. And Wali is bewildered. Suddenly, what has happened to this person? And then he comes out. And then there is a fight between the two. And Sugriva is waiting and waiting and waiting that Lord Ram will protect me because we have signed a treaty in front of Agni as Sakshi. And therefore he must protect me. Lord Ram, where are you? He's thinking aloud. And as he is thinking, he is getting pounded heavily by Wali because he has already switched on the button. Now he can't stop. That is not in his control. And Wali is so powerful, he's lifting him, punching him, throwing him on the ground. And at a certain point he realized, if this continues, I will be history. So I can't do that. So at a certain point when Wali lifted him and threw him. He fell on the ground and bounced like a ball and went to the top of a tree and jumped from tree to tree. And that was the fastest escape. And he came to Lord Ram and said, "My dear Lord, what did you do? Ram, I didn't expect this from you. You don't treat your friends like this. First promise them protection. Then based on that I went. And then suddenly I see nothing is happening. What kind of insurance is this?" So at that time Lord Ram said, "You two look so alike. So it was difficult for me to shoot an arrow. Because I'm just coming in contact with the monkey species recently. And it is not so easy for me to distinguish." Which in one sense is not true, because Wali had all kinds of royal symbols. He had necklaces, he had all of those things because he was still the king. So it was possible to distinguish very easily. But still Lord Ram gave this reason. And so at that time, what happened was Lord Ram looked at Lakshman. Right? And Lakshman was standing there. Now, why did Lord Ram neglect to protect Sugriva is explained. Because Sugriva had neglected Lakshman. Even if the Lord promises protection, when we offend or neglect devotee, the Lord withdraws that protection. Withholds the protection. He doesn't say he will never protect, but for the time being. Right? It goes on pause. He will not immediately do anything. He withholds it. And therefore, till some rectification is done, he will allow that person to go through some suffering. Because of Sugriva's neglect of Lakshman, Lord Ram withdrew for the time being. And then Lord Ram looked at Lakshman and said, "Gaja pushpim imam phullam utpatya shubha lakshanam kuru sugriva kanthasya sugrivasya mahatmana." He looked at Lakshman and said, "Here is this beautiful creeper, gaja pushpim, which is just like a huge elephant. Well grown, imam pullam, it is filled with flowers. Utpatya, you just pluck it out. Shubha lakshanam, and this will be a very good sign, a symbol to distinguish between the two." And he says, "Kuru lakshmana kanthasya sugrivasya mahatmana." "Oh Lakshman, place this flower garland around the neck of Sugriva." Kuru Lakshmana Kanthasya. Place it around Sugriva's neck. And in this way he instructed. So Lakshman immediately took that flower bower and placed it around Sugriva. So because he had offended, so the Lord made sure that Lakshman forgives Sugriva. And he actually initiates him and absorbs all of his sinful reactions. So it was just like he got a Brahman thread from the hands of Lakshman. And in this way, when Lakshman accepted him, then the Lord said, "Now protection is guaranteed." And then Sugriva got charged up. So you must also admit that Sugriva was also quite glorious. That after going through the first experience, still he had this faith. Otherwise, you will think 10 times and take Ram aside for 1 hour interrogation. "You are sure? You know, show me the weapons. Where are you going to stand? Just tell me." Because after going through such a horrific experience once, it is not easy to put faith. So Sugriva also must be complimented for this. That, okay, this is all right, but still next time you may come up with some other reason. So therefore, he had that faith and he went and he called out Wali again. Wali got wild. He came out. Again, the fight took place. But this time, Lord Ram gave protection. So therefore, the greatest misfortune is that after having the fortune of serving, we do not take the opportunity completely and seriously and we are neglectful in our Krishna consciousness. So therefore, Jiva Goswami says there are two things you need to go back to Godhead. Attentive chanting and attentive dealings. So if we are inattentive in chanting and inattentive in dealings, then the Lord withdraws and withholds the protection. And then we go through suffering condition and we are wondering, we heard Krishna consciousness is all fortune. Why am I going through this? Therefore, one has to be extremely careful. And this is because of the influence of false ego. When we are practicing over a period of time, then we start taking credit for what we are doing and we actually start thinking that I am quite important because I am involving in all of these activities. So we are physically engaged in activities of Krishna consciousness, but within, we are not exactly in the mood Lakshman is in serving Ram. We are not having the dasa bhav at all times. And because of this, problems happen. And therefore, over a period of time, it becomes difficult to offer respect to others. And we start disrespecting devotees, disrespecting the Lord's service. We feel this service is anyway I've been doing so many years. What if I don't do? And you even tell people that better you give this chance to him or him or him. You should distribute your mercy to everyone. Why you're only catching me, telling me? And that feeling of neglect comes. That is the greatest misfortune. One devotee was serving Srila Prabhupada very efficiently. And he had done something which not many people had done. Collected a lot of money, established some really important places. But he started feeling that he has done something substantial. And he's made a contribution to Srila Prabhupada's mission. And Prabhupada could detect that. That he has done great service, but deep within, the conception is there that I have to take credit for what I have done. So it was the middle of the night. Prabhupada told his secretary, call this devotee. So at 1 o'clock, this devotee came. Prabhupada said, what were you doing? The devotee said, I was sleeping. Prabhupada said, why were you sleeping? He said, because I am tired. Prabhupada said, why were you tired? Because I worked all day. Prabhupada said, I have also worked all day, but I am not sleeping. I am translating Bhagavatam. Why are you not so joining me and doing the same? He said, Prabhupada, you are a Paramahamsa. Prabhupada said, why are you not a Paramahamsa? He said, Prabhupada, I am a nonsense. Prabhupada said, why are you a nonsense? And he couldn't understand what is happening. And he realized that I am being totally crushed. And he folded his hands and told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, what should I do now? Prabhupada said, go back to sleep. And then he writes that at that moment, it was very, very important because Srila Prabhupada could see that yes, there is this feeling. And as soon as that feeling comes, it grows like a giant. And once it grows, it ultimately leads to all kinds of offenses. Therefore, the material world is a place of misery, misfortune. If you get a chance to serve, that is the opulence and fortune. But if after getting the chance to serve and getting this fortune, we lose it because of neglect, that is the greatest misfortune. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Yes. So I have Kirtan now. Of course, Radha Gopinath is also exporting knowledge from here. He's going to Russia, Ukraine and London within few days. On 30th April, Radha Gopinath Prabhu along with Gaur Gopal Prabhu, they are traveling to London. Then from there, they go to Kyiv, Ukraine. And then from there, they will go to Moscow for 2 months preaching tour. So we request all the devotees to give their, offer their prayers and blessings to these two devotees. They can perform their service successfully.
we were literally, we would like to thank His Grace Govind Das Prabhu and Gaurang Das Prabhu for sharing their heartfelt realizations. I'm sure all of you must have felt being transported to the holy banks of Naimisharanya, the beautiful forest of Naimisharanya, 5,000 years ago, where the Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken. But here we had a little difference, in fact three differences. First, there were two Shukadeva Goswamis. Secondly, there were two microphones in front of them, and the Shukadeva Goswamis had their clothes on. So, thank you very much, Prabhus, for transporting us from this clearly labeled Dukhalayam Ashashvatam and making us drink the nectar of Vaikuntha. Srila Prabhupada did say that my temples are in Vaikuntha. So here the label is outside, very clear. Now it's up to us that from our misfortune condition, we have somehow got this fortune. And now our good fortune will be, we continue to remain fortune by taking full advantage of the association that is here. In fact, His Grace Govind Prabhu was sharing two very nice realizations of his trip. He said it was very wonderful traveling with someone equal, with equal association. Generally, we have very loving and sweet association with someone above us, and we have a very respectful and nice subordinate relation with someone junior to us. But the million-dollar question is, what about the equals who can actually know and give us wonderful feedback, very precious feedback. So, and it was very inspiring for many people there to see these two stalwart preachers traveling together lovingly and sharing their realization and hearing to each other, not just speaking, but hearing to each other also. So this was very much appreciated. That was one thing. And second thing that very humbly both of them presented was, it is not our glory that we went there, but whoever goes naturally may be respected, will be properly accepted, because they are coming as representative of a wonderful community of devotees, Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Mandir. So he was saying that we are very grateful that it is because of this wonderful Sangha here, wonderful example that all of you as the congregation members are setting up, and this community is setting up, that people, anyone who goes will naturally be accepted. And sure enough, that involves a lot of responsibility from our side, because we are going as a representative of Srila Prabhupada's temple. Actually, since there are no questions, I would say one thing, that you can share your realizations of your travel and other experiences also. You have shared philosophy, now your practical application part.
Hare Krishna. As Gopinath already mentioned, that unless we are full-grown community and you have the backing of the community, then preaching becomes not so powerful, and we could experience that because we had the backing of the whole congregation. We very much knew that all the devotees were praying for our survival, and what to speak of the success in preaching Krishna consciousness in the Western world. And we went to America, then we had programs in London, some other cities in London, in Britain, and then also we visited Italy. And in 40 days, In America, we traveled almost 23 cities, going from one city to another city. And devotees were quite very eager to hear about Krishna. And they were wanting to know what's happening at Radha Gopinath community. And therefore, you know, as we explained, even though people may be very materialistic, but because they're experiencing the Kerala juice of material miseries, therefore if they hear or if they come to devotees and get to hear something nice philosophy, they're very open-hearted. Therefore, in these places where we were preaching, even in the winter, not many devotees come. But still because, as I said, again we say, because we are coming from Radha Gopinath temple, as Gaurang was mentioning, that when you are singing Mangalarti in some places, you are the lead singer and you are the chorus. There are more deities than the devotees. And therefore, at points, it becomes quite discouraging. But here we see one devotee, six and 2,000 devotees are, you know, singing in chorus, powerful sound vibration. Therefore, we have to recognize what we are getting in this place. Devamrita Swami Maharaj always says, he says there is a luxurious devotional activity going on here. Why should you regret for anything? So that was our experience, that we go out there to recognize or to remember what we are getting here at Sri Sri Radha Gopinath temple.
Just one thing before I continue, that Kerala juice has many medicinal effects also. And I just mentioned that point just for the bitter taste which we are experiencing and expecting. And if someone feels offended, that why is speaking like this about it. Just one point I wanted to make is that in all these situations, you realize that Krishna is in control and he can put you in all kinds of situations and make you humble. I'll just share one experience which I shared with some of the brahmacharis as soon as we came, and it was a Sunday. I think when Janananda Prabhu was giving your Sunday feast here, 2 weeks back. So that time we were going through this experience there. This was in Venice. And many times when I share some experiences of misery, people get more inspired. And they say, oh, every place is a place of misery after all. So this happened that we were going to take a flight from Venice to some other place in Belgium. And we were all ready and we came at night. And we had checked in our baggage. And we were about to take the flight. They announced the flight is cancelled. And this was at night, 10 o'clock. And somehow we had not organized enough. And we didn't take the phone number and the address of the devotee who dropped us. So we were stuck up in the airport and didn't know where to go. But then I remembered that our Srinathji Prabhu is close to that devotee. And he must be having the phone number. And it was 1:30 at night. I called up from there, the operator, and told him to call up Srinathji Prabhu and get the number. So he was afraid. Should I wake him up? I said, we are stuck up here. We can't go anywhere. You have to do something. So he actually called Srinathji Prabhu, and Srinathji Prabhu was very merciful. And he chastised the operator a little bit in the beginning. But he said why he has called up. So then he was pacified and then he gave the number. And we called this devotee and said, please, you have to come and pick us up because we don't have any place to go at night. So he came and we went back to his house. Then again in the morning, we had been booked for the next flight. So we came in the morning, 9 o'clock, checked in again, ready, about to board. They announced because of fog, the flight is again cancelled. So by that time, I realized that when you cancel, get the flights cancelled, then there is another counter where you have to stand in line, where they give you new bookings. And the previous night, because we were just going and taking our baggage and everything and coming, we were all delayed and we had to stand in the line. So now in India, we have a lot of experience of this lines business. So I said, you go and collect the baggage. I will go and stand in the line. And I went and I was the first person in the line there. And the only pleasure was look behind and see what a long line is there. And then I went to the counter. I said, okay, yesterday night our flight got cancelled. This morning it got cancelled. Give us the next flight. I said, okay, next flight is 2 o'clock. Take that flight. And you're lucky you're one of the first few people who are coming in. And I looked at Govind Prabhu and said, you know, experience. And so I was very happy, and we were all congratulating each other that how we really know. In India, there are some advantages. That other people were peacefully coming with their bag, but they were getting the bag and I was in the line. So that's how we got it. So then we waited till 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and then the checking time began. And all of us went to the check-in counter with that booking which was there and showed it. And the lady at the counter said, I think you should check your booking again, because it is for the afternoon 2 o'clock, but not today, tomorrow. And I looked at it and said, my God, I spaced out. That when that other lady gave that sheet, instead of today, she transferred it to the next day afternoon flight. And I didn't check while going from the counter, assuming that it is for this evening, for this afternoon. And then we really were so frustrated, because it was a blunder, in one sense from her side and also from my side, because I didn't cross-check. So nowhere to go. Again went back to that counter. At least get an apology from that lady. So I went there, but already the big line was there, which we were ridiculing all along. Just see, such a long line. But I had to go there. And the fellow at front said, go back. You have to come from the line. I said, see, this is emergency. We have to go. Somehow they arranged for me to speak to that counter, the lady at the counter, and she said, so many people keep coming. We can't recognize who's coming, who's not coming, and I don't remember. I said, just 2 hours back you gave me. You remember me? I'm different. Definitely you must recognize me. I'm sorry. The maximum we can do is you just wait patiently. When all the seats have been full, if there is some vacant space, we will take you on the flight. I said, I was first in the line. Sorry, this is what your sheet says. It is booked for tomorrow. So then we were sitting, and then we were reading the pastime of Sita in captivity in Lanka. How she must be feeling. So then I got so many realizations that many times in Yatra, Prasad gets over, and this is the answer many times we also give, that over, what can I do? And then we go away. So maybe I'm getting reaction for all that. So many realizations were flowing in continuously. But we were still waiting, waiting, waiting. And at last, and this, there is one more part which I didn't mention. That I went to that lady again and said, I'm begging for your causeless mercy. Which I would not have spoken, but he forced me to speak that part, which was a little difficult for me, but we were so desperate and there was no way, that finally the lady at the counter said, okay, 5 seats are remaining and all the people have gone, now I will give you these 3 seats. So we got ultimately the same thing, but the whole experience was so purifying, because first we thought we have done it, really we used our intelligence so well. And then Krishna made a fool of us, mainly myself, because I was taking all the initiative that time. And then finally, when we got it, we were so grateful. And that is, many times Krishna does that in our own lives. But he already knows that you are going to board the flight. You know, you may have your project, you may have your plans, you may make all the things. And Krishna knows, okay, I'm going to give that to him, but before that, he'll play a little bit, so that our ego really gets deflated. So this is one experience. But as Govind Prabhu said, Sunday feast in Chopati is like, it's like a sense gratification for a preacher. Because so many people who are already trained in Krishna consciousness, attentive, and the frame of reference is practically same. Right? If I say like Advaita, so nobody is wondering who is Advaita. Whereas many places you have to think whom we are speaking to, who will understand what part, and some places hardly 4 or 5 people, and that too in different corners of the room. So it's very difficult. But here we have such a fantastic facility. We just have to maintain this wonderful association we have. And the glories of all of the service of the devotees here and this association is definitely a source of inspiration for many people all over the world. So please take this counselor system very seriously, attending these meetings, taking regular guidance. Because one of the biggest problems is people all over the world do not have anyone to guide. They are serious, they are interested, they are eager. And brahmacharya ashrams are still existing, but there is no guidance available for grihasthas anywhere. I would not say anywhere, most of the places in the world. And the greatest opulence we have here is, we have so many grihastha counselors who are sharing their experiences of Krishna consciousness with others. And this kind of a system is really an opulence. So therefore, please take this whole concept of attending these meetings and, you know, sharing your problems and getting your problems solved with the help of assistance of senior devotees very seriously, because really speaking, this is not so much available anywhere. And therefore, we are very, very grateful to especially His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, that who did so much to assist us in this mission. So we are trying to do our little bit by assisting him and Srila Prabhupada in this mission of helping in some insignificant way in the glorious preaching mission all over the world. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Tai gaur premanande.